There is another part of our body that is suffering untold hardships and persecutions, my respected friends and brothers. About a month, 5 weeks ago, we spoke about the plight of the Muslimin of Myanmar, the Rohingya people, and it is still ongoing. What is being done at this point in time only is that a whole lot of relief is going there, and people are helping them out and giving them food and giving them rice and clothing and more collection. But they are still not back home and leading a normal life like how we are leading here. And if we have to look at the political landscape or the political activity around it, there's nothing serious being done with regard to the plight in as far as talks taking place or somebody doing something about it, except that the Bangladeshi government and the Myanmari government are going to sit and talk and work out something. Allah alone knows. But in the meantime, while something is going to be worked out, more than a million people have already crossed over since our first talk, which was about 5 weeks ago. That time the number was at 300 and some odd thousand. Besides that, my respected friends and brothers, there are different pockets of the Muslim Ummah that are facing difficulties. And two of these are continuously like thorns in our side and hurting us all the time. Since we are growing up, these two places and these two areas have always created a concern in our heart. Besides that, in between, we find there are some linked up to what has been happening and some are new ones. For example, the Syrian problem, it's a Middle East problem, but it's fairly new, 5 or 6 years. Then the Iraqi problem was before that. And then we have on the side, in Somalia, we have the Muslimin having difficulty and they are being persecuted, or rather there is a Shabab problem there. And everywhere else we find there are these things going on. All our brothers, all Muslim lives being lost in the process. So my respected friends and brothers, we must not think it's happening somewhere else and inshallah Allah will sort it out, you know, and just forget about it and dismiss it. No. We must also remember Allah protect us, but those things can have and do have an impact, direct and indirect impact upon us. So the two issues we're going to discuss very briefly today. There are so many problems in the Muslim Ummah that we need 1 week to discuss two matters. The one is the ongoing problem in Jammu and Kashmir, that's in India. When we speak of Kashmir, what we think of, I went there or I'm going to go there for a holiday. It's a very beautiful mountainous snow-covered area with the most beautiful lakes, and you have the houseboat on it and greenery and scenery and all those type of things. But my respected friends and brothers, our Muslimin at this particular time are victims of untold persecution and hardship in that part of the world. That's what we need to know. Also, my respected friends and brothers, it's not happening now. This goes back from the time, and this is what we just need to connect ourselves, because when we see these things in the news or we hear about it, and we are actually from there. All of us are, most of us are here from the Indian subcontinent. We are all from there. So, my brothers, then we identify and we relate with it. That this problem started at the time of the partition, and it is going on. And we find now and then there are cross-border exchanges between India and Pakistan, for example. Pakistan is accusing India of a whole lot of violations and a whole lot of persecutions on the Muslim people there. And India, on the other hand, is accusing Pakistan of breeding terrorists and supporting terrorists. Who are the freedom fighters? It depends who is, like they say, one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist. So that is going on. And then they get other superpowers or so-called powers to, you know, attack the Muslimin on the pretext that they are harboring terrorists. And when they speak of the word terrorist, this week this incident that happened took place where? In New York, in the week. Fellow drove a whole lot of people over. Till it was not known when the breaking news came, everyone was just waiting to hear one thing. Somebody, an incident has been reported. Then afterwards they say 4 people dead, 6 people dead, 8 people dead, and so forth. Then they say it seems to be a terrorist attack. Then you and I know whose name is going to come up next. And so that is how it has been now profiled and labeled. So all this is going on. my respected friends and brothers, very briefly, when the partition took place in India at that time, and there was no Pakistan, and after the India-Pakistan partition took place, there were lots of states that were in India, which were called the princely states. They were called the Riyasat. Riyasat means a state, which were basically governed by a ruler, like a chief, and they were called Nawabs, or they were called the Ra'is, or they were called whatever else. They were the Rajas. There were a lot of people that were running those places. So there was the Riyasat of Jamnagar, and the Riyasat of Bhopal, and the Riyasat of Tonk, and that way also this way, and all these places. And when the partition took place, then decision was made that these princely states will now be incorporated as part of India. And some of these people were still given an opportunity to run semi-autonomously, if you want to say that. They are still, you know, as symbolic, they are still in existence in a lot of parts of India. But when it came to Kashmir, the ruler there was a Hindu Maharaja, right? He was the ruler. And Kashmir, being the province and state it was, had majority Muslim. And it was expected that Kashmir will then be decided to be a Muslim state, and it will go over either onto the Pakistan side, or it will be given the option of self-rule. That was supposed to be. So the Maharaja at that point in time, he left it undecided. He didn't just make a decision. And this was, remember when? When Britain, that had been running and ruling India as a colonial power, when they had pulled out. And wherever these Khabises, these British Khabises, have left, they've always left a bomb, and they've left, you know, issues and problems that the nation will then suffer for generations. Like the Rohingya problem also, we did trace it back to the British rule, and when they had pulled out, how they left the policy of divide and rule and so forth. And wherever else they do it, that is how they've been doing it. So this particular place was delayed. And then the Maharaja finally signed it over to India. No sooner did he do that, freedom fighters came from Pakistan to challenge him. And India put its forces and its fighters there. And then we find this particular fight taking place until the United Nations drew what they call the line of control. That means part of Kashmir is in India and part of Kashmir is in Pakistan, but it's not final. The United Nations Commission for India and Pakistan was formed, where this matter could then be sorted out and finally decide that which side they go. And they also gave a suggestion or a ruling, the United Nations Commission for India and Pakistan, that they must hold a plebiscite, which we call a referendum in our days, nowadays, a public opinion, which is not binding, but let's see what the public has to say. So if that referendum ever took place, India never ever allowed it to take place. They never were comfortable because they knew. And because that thing never ever took place, we find that this area is a disputed area till now. So what is happening there, my respected friends and brothers? And this is where we are supposed to be aware that one part of the Ummah, the Muslim body, our body is in pain, is the continuous persecutions that take place there, while there are struggles that are being waged to try and change the status quo by the freedom fighters. There is continuous police presence, there is military presence, there is shooting, there is arrest, there are arbitrary assassinations and murders taking place, there is rape of our mothers and sisters, and there is a continuous situation of curfew there, all the time. And then the Muslimin that are living around there are repeatedly, especially those closer to the border area, are repeatedly persecuted. Their homes are broken down and they are arrested, and all kinds of things are happening on a regular basis. So that is the one aspect. It's like 70 years this is now carrying on. That is our Muslim Ummah. So when we read about this, then we mustn't think of Kashmir as this beautiful place, which is, alhamdulillah, but think of the underlying difficulty and persecution of our Muslim brethren. And wherever we can make a difference, we must make a difference. In whichever way we can make representation and put forward suggestions and put up protests, whatever it is, inshallah, it does raise a certain amount of awareness. And that will make a difference, apart from the dua that we are always making, mashallah, and the Yasin Sharif Khatam also, and the relief efforts, whatever it might be. But we are unaware of how much of difficulty those people undergo. The second problem, my respected friends and brothers, which we're going to talk about, is the age-old problem of Palestine, which we must never, ever forget. Because wherever a problem arises, then we become very emotion, and we become obsessed with it, which is right, alhamdulillah, it's our Muslim ummah. But then we forget what's happening there. Now last week, how many of us are aware that Masjidul Aqsa was again shut down for the second time over a period of Jummah Salah up to 2 or 3 days? Does anybody know about that? It was put, alhamdulillah, onto social media. And when that happens, then the Yahudi military goes inside, and there are a lot of important officers there that are keeping records of the history of the place. And there is a fear that they are tampering and looting and taking it away from there. A few months ago also the same thing happened. And people are allowed to reach Salah. And we know the plan of the Jews as far as the Zionist, I will say, as far as the takeover of Masjidul Aqsa is concerned, the plan of breaking down the Dome of the Rock and putting up what they call their own temple, all that is in its place. Over and above that, my brothers, on a regular basis, now and then we get a little news and then we become affected and then we forget. We must not forget every dua that we pick our hands up, first make dua for the ummah and become relevant in as far as helping the cause in whichever way Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So, you know, the ongoing persecutions that are there. The checkpoints, many of us have had the opportunity of visiting Palestine repeatedly. At the Masjid al-Aqsa gate itself, who is manning it? Who has the final say about who comes in and who goes out? And besides that, my brothers, we go further, the siege, 10-year siege in Gaza, that is linked to all of that. So all of that, my brothers, is an ongoing thing. Homes being bulldozed all the time, people being arrested, people disappearing, all that. Goes back to where? It goes back to an important incident that was being celebrated yesterday in some parts of the world. So many of us have heard of the Balfour Declaration. Yesterday was 100 years for the Balfour Declaration. And Balfour got nothing to do with a small little dorpie out of Heidelberg. Nothing. Arthur Balfour, who was one of the senior officials, Home Secretary or Secretary of Foreign Affairs of the British at that time, he was the one who wrote this declaration in which he said, it is the pleasure of the Your Majesty's government, British government, to, and this is the part, give a home to the Jewish people in the land of Palestine. That is what this declaration was. And yesterday was 100 years that this declaration was now being celebrated. But alhamdulillah, it was not only being celebrated, there was also a lot of opposition and protest worldwide against it. Even Malema here, a lot of people wondering what Malema is talking about, Palestine and all the rest of that. Yesterday he marched and he went there to the embassy and he protested against the zulm that is taking place against the people of Palestine. So that was happening yesterday. But my respected friends and brothers, coming back to this, what did this thing boil down to? This thing here, this Balfour Declaration was written again. Just now we also spoke about them. They had made a decision that Palestine, a Jewish home, a Jewish state is going to be given to the Jews that were being persecuted in Europe. Really, the Jews were being persecuted in Europe. They were victims of the Holocaust and a whole lot of other things. They had nowhere. They were, what the Quran says, you know, zillatu wal maskana. They were in a state of humiliation and they were a state of need and poverty. So all those areas, they were being given a hiding and it was decided that we must give these people a place of refuge. And finally, it was then given in this place called Palestine, a state. And the second thing that was mentioned in the letter of Arthur Balfour was that the rights of the non-Jewish people will not be compromised, and as they are living, nothing will be taken away from them. It's written in the bottom part of that letter. That letter, you find the text, you find the picture of that letter. Now look at the word, whatever he said won't be compromised, that's another thing which they didn't worry about. But the word non-Jewish, get that word non-Jewish. He says, a home is going to be given to the Jewish people in Palestine, and then the rights of the non-Jewish people will not be compromised. Why did he use the word non-Jewish? Giving the impression that those non-Jewish actually don't belong there. Jewish, this is Jewish. And whoever is not a Jew is non-Jew, but we'll see them also, right? And the Palestinian word is not even there, the Palestinians. So basically they were relegated to invisibility, if you want to call it. So smartly it was written. Also, my respected friends and brothers, where did this thing go? This thing went back. Why did Britain decide? This thing went back to a suggestion and a decision that was made by a person called Theodore Herzl as far back as 1820. This happened in 1948 only, the signing of 2nd November 1948, the signing of the Balfour Declaration. Theodore Herzl had made this that we need a home for the Jewish people and this needs to be in Palestine. Again, somebody else deciding that somebody else must live in somebody else's house. The Belfast Jamaat has decided that here in Middleburg, Mr. Ghani, I'm just using that, no, Mr. Ghani must go stay in Mr. Patel's house. I've got a lot of Ghanis and Patels, so I'll use those surnames, right? But it didn't happen, yeah. So somebody from Belfast is deciding who must go stay in whose house. Britain is deciding where the Jews of Europe must come and stay in a place which Britain doesn't even own. They got no say over the matter. So this is the bottom stark reality of the Palestinian problem, my respected friends and brothers. So many times the Jewish, when they want to argue that they own it, they have a right to it, what they say? They say the Bible said so, it's ours. Bible didn't say. Arthur Balfour said. It's on his letter, we can see it. Nowhere the Bible says that the Jews from Europe have to come and settle down in somebody else's land, my respected friends and brothers. That is the bottom and the stark reality. And when he made the statement that time, Theodore Herzl, he sent a group of Viennese from Vienna, rabbis, to go and check out what it looks like, Palestine. Can it be a place that we can send our Jews to go and stay there? And when they reported back, they said, the bride is very beautiful, but she's married to another man. Simply said, that this is a beautiful place, but it belongs to somebody else. We can't take it. But then, obviously, they took away another man's wife, and they made it their wife. Illegitimate. That's why it's called illegitimate apartheid state of Israel. And my respected friends and brothers, from that point onwards, we find all the zulm has started. Wherever we get an opportunity to watch or to read or to hear anything about the Islamic history of Palestine, especially not from the biased sources of the West, follow it up and see how much of zulm immediately took place. That from that point, from 1948 onwards, and the first attack started on a Muslimin, 500 villages were emptied out, and 750,000 to 900,000 people became refugees, and 15,000 people were killed at that time, my respected friends and brothers. And it's ongoing. People had to flee their homes, and they had to run. When we were in 1992 there, we met old people, and many people have also had this experience. They say, here's the key for our houses, our villages. We are waiting to go back there. There's no villages, nothing there. It's all taken over. The settlers have put their own homes there. And some of the old people have gone into the cupboard with the key in their hand, basically. So this goes as far back as that. So yesterday, if you're following the news, then we find that there is this centenary celebrations. Now, there are some people, the Jews, for example, were having also centenary celebrations, and they were saying, no matter what, just look at the resilience of Israel, how it has gone through and has withstood all the attacks of the terrorists and the settlers. They're calling the local people settlers, and all the people who are not supposed to be there. That is the one type of thing. Then there are others, alhamdulillah, were saying that bring about peace. We can't go on with this. It's too painful for everybody. And then there were people like Malema also who were speaking against it. So my respected friends and brothers, what we are saying is that this is an ongoing thing. And the most painful thing yesterday was that Theresa May, who is the Prime Minister of Britain, entertained Netanyahu in front of 10 Downing Street. And they were also part of the celebration. And her statement was that British recognizes and supports the state of Israel. So fine. But what about Balfour? He said at the bottom that the rights of the people that are living there. And who are the people living there? Muslims, Christians, and Jews. There were Jews also living there. We don't deny that. They were Palestinian people. But there's nowhere any talk about driving everybody else out and making it a Jewish homeland. So that part of the text of Mr. Balfour, not even Mr. Balfour's letter, has still not been fulfilled. And what Britain says, we fully recognize and support the state of Israel. So these are some of the things we as Muslims should keep in mind at all times. Be aware of it, be connected to it, make dua, and in whichever way we can assist the cause and make dua, give moral support, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq.